Thanksgiving permanently became the second Monday in October by an act of Parliament in 1957. Before that time, it switched back and forth in terms of its dates. I think we as Canadians have it right versus the Americans, because in the Old Testament and in the Jewish calendar, the Feast of Ingathering or Tabernacles, or they would call it Sukkoth, has just finished. Our hearts go out to our brother and his wife who are here today from Egyptian background on the terrible death of so many in Taba, in the Sinai, just outside of Israel's borders. This past week, bombs hooked together in a way that would make us remember that it was against the Jewish nation because of the holiday that was being celebrated. The Canadian Encyclopedia describes tomorrow as a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest which Canadians have been blessed. And on Wednesday, I had the privilege of walking outside of this church over that way to the cornfield. And I don't know, there's been a little section of the cornfield cut back. I don't know whether that's done by the farmer to see whether it's ready or not, or whether somebody else did it. But I got in that little wee hole, and I went like this, and I put my hand up. And I was still a foot short of the stalk of corn. Wow, the bountiful harvest that God is able to give us. I've never, ever been in a church where there's a person in the church that grows 570-pound pumpkins. I was wondering, where would we put a pumpkin of that size at the front of the church? But Don, I guess we don't have the equipment to bring it in very easily, so I guess it has to stay in your truck or in the field or wherever you take these great pumpkins to. Thankfulness is not a given in our society. You probably have met people that aren't very thankful for anything. You might have even met people that complain all the time. Hopefully you're not one of those kinds of people. Many focus on the negative things. They focus on correcting things all of their life. But they don't take time to reflect and be thankful. Just ask the receptionists in any service industry how thankful people are when they call. I would even say at the reception desk of Christian doctors, it's amazing the things that people say that are hard for the receptionist to give thanks for. I'm thankful today for this church, as Irma has said. You have received Bev and I so very warmly. We want to give you thanks for that. You've accepted us as a pastoral couple, and Bev and I are more than willing to share that acceptance with David and Karen that you will give to them as well when they come. I'm assuming that. You will, won't you? Good. George Washington, in his first presidential proclamation that instituted a national holiday of Thanksgiving in the States, included these words. And every time I read them, they affect me profoundly. I wish our prime minister would have said these words. It is the duty of all the nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection. What a wonderful statement. A statement of leadership. A statement of dependence on the greatness of God and our gratitude to Him for His benefits. I believe that today God is calling us as the people of God to hone our gratitude attitude. Now that word honing is probably not a word that we use very often, because usually the sharp blades of stuff that we get come sharpened already for us, and we have these self-sharpening kinds of equipment that do it. But I remember when we were at a short-term missions project in Mexico, a number of the young people buying great big machetes. And they wouldn't sharpen them there because you can't bring them across that way. So you have these very dull things, and they would take a lot of work on honing them to make them very sharp and very productive and useful. And sometimes I think that, God in His sovereignty has allowed us to have a Thanksgiving weekend to just help us, like the Lord's table, to remember again who God is and that we need to be thankful to Him. People sometimes say, well, what is God's will for me? A couple of verses give us some help in this in terms of thankfulness. In 1 Thessalonians 5:20, it says, give thanks in every circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So one aspect of God's will for each of us is that we should give thanks in every circumstance. How many of you find that easy to do? Some circumstances are very tough to give thanks in. But that's the challenge and the command that Paul gives to us. Elsewhere he says, always give thanks for all things. One might be led to believe that Paul had a pretty rosy life and things went very well for him, and it was real easy for him to give thanks in all things. Except when you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and you go through that list of things that he experienced, that probably would have killed all of us. And yet in the midst of all of the suffering and all of what he endured, he was able to challenge us that we are to give thanks in everything. What is God's will for you and I? Give thanks in every circumstance. This morning we're going to look and consider our gratitude attitude in three areas, briefly. First of all, material blessings, then spiritual blessings, and then purposeful ministry. In Psalm 103 that we read, part of it, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. For years in Ontario, we have taken for granted those things that third world countries wish for. And I forgot my bottle of water to show you today. But we used to take water for granted in Ontario, didn't we? You just take the water out of the tap and you drink it, and then Walkerton came. And all of a sudden, bottled water seems to be the in thing. I know Bob Clements spends a lot of time working on processing the water at the church here so you can drink it, even though somebody says it doesn't taste very good. Is that right, Joan? It smells. Okay. So we have, I guess, some sulfur in our water from the well. But water, we take it for granted. We just have to turn the tap. Many parts of the world, they have to go miles for water. And even then, sometimes the water that they have is not really drinkable. Now, this morning, I want you to take in a deep breath. And exhale. We take that for granted, don't we? Air. Oxygen. We take it for granted when we go to sleep that God has designed us in such a way that what happens is that our lungs work while we sleep. Some of you have been in Mexico City or Calcutta or some other big cities in the world know how much you should appreciate the air that you breathe in Markham. Now I know if you were in North Bay or Thunder Bay or some other place, the air would be even better to breathe. But compared to some cities in our world, our air is pretty good. Shelter. I would assume all of you have some idea where you're going to lay your head tonight. Many in our city even struggle with where they're going to lay their head tonight. Paul Brander, who we prayed for, I remember saying to me a year or so ago this. He said, you know, I've worked in Angola with all the minefields and all the difficulties there. I've seen the famine and starvation in Ethiopia and North Korea And the thing that impressed him the most was when he went to Romania in the wintertime and he found out how poor their shelter was that they were living in the midst of the snow and the cold. I would have thought he would have said, the thing that impressed me the most was the starvation and the eyes of those children that I saw. But he talked about Romania and how poor the shelter was there for people in the middle of the winter. Have you ever gone into a grocery store and found that there was nothing left to buy? We get upset when the specials sell out and we have to get a voucher to get it next week. But there are many places in the world, you go into the store the wrong time and there's nothing to buy. Or there's only one type of thing to buy. You don't even have to worry about reading all the labels. You either buy it or you starve. Health and health care. We spend so much time talking about it these days, how we're upset with it, until we go to a third world country and then we come back and we're grateful that we have it. Some who've lived in the United States might be able to say to us, you're blessed because you have a health care program. Many percent, a high percentage of people in the United States don't have coverage. And so when a crisis hits, it hits them financially in a powerful way. Lord, sharpen my attitude and my gratitude today related to material blessings. Secondly, spiritual blessings. In Psalm 68:19, it says, bless the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. So daily, God is in the business of loading us with his benefits. Luke 6:38 describes the overflowing measure of grain, more than anybody can carry in an apron or a napkin or other source of receptacle. Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says these words, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, I can't possibly go through a list of every spiritual blessing that is yours in Christ. But I'll go through a few for you. A couple verses later in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, one of the blessings that we have is redemption through his blood. And we've celebrated that today. In that same verse, it says that we have the blessing of the forgiveness of sins. So Jesus' death and resurrection met the need legally of the justice of God so that he could forgive us of our sins. Is it easy to forgive others? The deeper we're hurt, the harder it is to forgive. Was it easy for God to forgive us? No, it wasn't. It was very costly for God to forgive us. He had to send his own son, Jesus, to die, to go through the betrayal and the ridicule and the crucifixion so that we might have our sins forgiven and have life eternal. We have the blessing of being adopted into God's family with the protection, the resources, and the acceptance and the love that that means, being part of the family of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, there's a number of things that are blessings to us. First of all, it's an inheritance that can never be lost. Every so often in the paper, we hear about people who've lost their inheritance, people who've defrauded them or swindled them in some way. But you have an inheritance that can't be lost. It's reserved for you in heaven. You have protection by the power of God. And some of you can probably tell me stories of the protection of God in very crisis situations in your life where you could easily have died. We have the blessing of peace in our hearts. A blessing that is given to us by Jesus, a blessing that is part of the fruit of the Spirit that can be ours as the Spirit of God lives in us. I want to read to you from Colossians chapter 1, just a few verses. And I'll allude to some of these later in the message. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but now is disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the promise of the indwelling Christ. Christ in you, the hope or certainty of glory. Later on in Colossians, a few verses later, it talks about wisdom, that all the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of Christ are at our disposal. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it talks about us having spiritual weapons and armor that is ours to put on and ours to wield as well. And then there's a verse, and I'm going to read two verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 57 of chapter 15, it says, "But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ." So we have victory, the blessing of being on the victorious side. Oh yes, sometimes we look out there and we wonder whether we're on the victory side. But that victory has been assured. We do not see the end yet. I can't help but thinking of a song that was sung at the funeral yesterday called "Further Along." It was like a southern spiritual. And it kind of said, you know, life is pretty difficult now and so on and so forth, but we aren't able to see farther along to where all the blessings and all the glory is. And so it was encouraging us to lift our eyes and to realize that where we're at now is not the end, but the end is in the future and the victory has been secured for us. It's a little girl. Was camping with her parents. And she loved to count. And she said, "Mommy and Daddy, I'm going to count all the stars in the sky." She started counting, and counted for a long time, and she got to 201, 202, 203. And then she paused and she said, "Mommy and Daddy, there's just too many to count. I've just given you 10 sample blessings. There's probably too many to count." The Navigators are famous for their discipleship programs. And years ago, they started a program called 2-7 out of Colossians 2, 6, and 7. And they encouraged people to mark their Bibles. And beside a verse that there was a blessing in, you'd mark a B. And if there was a promise for you, you mark a P. And the challenge to you today is to take the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians and just go through and mark the B's and the P's. And then reflect on the blessings and the promises of God that are for you if you're in Christ Jesus. Lastly, purposeful ministry. In that passage I read in Colossians, in verse 25, Paul says that he's a servant. He's a steward that's commissioned by God to present to you, the Gentiles, the Word of God in all its fullness. So we have, as purposeful ministry, we have the privilege of proclamation. And that's not just for apostles who are sent out once. It's not just for pastors. It's for all of us. We have the privilege of proclaiming the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was excited by that because he realized in the Old Testament it was a mystery, but now it's been revealed. Now we are able to share it in its fullness and allow God to have its great impact in the lives of people. He also said that part of that purposeful ministry was the opportunity to suffer for Christ. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. Jesus was very clear when he commissioned Paul in Acts chapter 9:16. He said this, I will show Paul how much he must suffer for my name. So Paul, right at his commissioning service, in a sense, Jesus very clearly told him that his life would be one that would be suffering for the name of Christ. Paul was stalked, terrorized, victimized. And 2 Corinthians 11 tells us a little bit about that. But listen to the words of 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5. It says this, for when we came into Macedonia, the body of ours had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Thank you, Lord, for comforters. Like Titus. And especially the Holy Spirit, who is described as a comforter, comes alongside to comfort us in our time of bereavement and loss and discouragement. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, just after that chapter where Paul lists all the things that had happened to him, and just after he had been pleading with Christ to take away the thorn in his flesh, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So we need to thank the Lord for his sufficiency of grace. And then for purposeful ministry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the verse after the one I read you, the chapter concludes with this great verse. Some of you probably have it memorized. Therefore, my dear brothers, and I can say sisters as well, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that the labor in the Lord is not in vain. Sometimes, you know, people in our world have what might be called menial jobs. They do certain kinds of things, and they wonder at the end of the week or at the end of the month or the end of the year whether what they're doing has ever made any significant contribution. When people go into prison, they discourage them by making them, you know, move this rock pile from one place to the other and then move it back and so on, so that you get discouraged in doing meaningless work. In God's kingdom, there isn't meaningless work. It's purposeful. And as we continue to labor for him, it will not be in vain. It will accomplish its purposes as the Spirit of God moves and directs us. How is your gratitude attitude today? Let me just give a couple of applications for you in closing. Let's decide to sharpen our gratitude attitude this week. First of all, when you sit down to eat a meal and you say grace and you give thanks, I want you to thank God for one other thing other than the food that you're eating. Can you do that? One other thing. Just allow God to expand sometimes that prayer that we make at the table, so that we're praying. You can pray for a person, you can give thanks for something else. Secondly, this week, would you be willing to write or email one person who has been a special blessing to you in this past year? You have to think about that. Well, I'll even let you phone them if you don't want to write or email. You could phone them, or you could send a little thank you card. Express to them how important it was to you what they did to encourage or comfort or bless you in this past year. Now, I hope that every one of you will be able to think of somebody. Wouldn't it be awful if you couldn't? Ask the Spirit of God. He will bring somebody's name to you to be able to do that. Then we sang Count Your Blessings. It talked about being discouraged in the first verse and dry, and there was difficult times and so on and so forth. When those kinds of dry times or difficult times come in your life, use them as a trigger, like the hymn writer says. When you get down, use them as a trigger. Say, ah, I'm not feeling very good. I need to count my blessings. And then start to do them one by one, thanking God for his blessings and for the opportunities that he's given to you. Then lastly, and this one's going to be a little bit more difficult because I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Can you do that for me? And I just want to share a few things with you, and I want you to close your eyes and just reflect on these benefits that God has given to you. If you know Christ, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you know God's love for you, you know that it's unconditional and eternal. That the Holy Spirit who lives in you will produce his fruit in your life and gift you for purposeful ministry.